It's good to be here this morning. I missed being here last Sunday. I was staying with my dad so my mom could get to church. So today's Father's Day, and I don't know what all that means to you. Father's Day, what kind of feelings bubble up in your mind, in your heart? About 2 weeks ago, I told you I was going to be preaching about this. I put it on the church chat at least. And I want to thank you for your input. I requested input. So the neat thing about that is that you don't know whose idea some of these things were, if it's my own or the Holy Spirit's or the others, but we'll pray that the Holy Spirit can mix it all together and bring thoughts from our Father, God our Father. And I want, I guess us men don't really like talking about Father's Day sometimes, you know, ideals and how fathers should be, puts us kind of on the spot. At least it puts me on the spot. So what we tend to do on Father's Day, we beat up ourselves. And then on Mother's Day, we sweeten them and lift them up to glory because we're not mothers. And I've heard reactions from both sides about that because my wife doesn't like how, you know, she's so perfect. She's talking about how she's perfect. She'd like to be talked about, you know, how can we grow and how can we change? And then from this side, it's like, well, don't beat up on the dads. Just can you give us a blessing? And that's what I want to do today. I hope you can bless me. I hope we can bless each other. I hope you mothers can bless us fathers. And of course, like one man said, he's made lots of mistakes. And it's not a hall of fame, it's a hall of shame. So we need to rise above that and own that and be the fathers that God calls us to be. So a blessing for fathers. I'd like some folks, and you don't need to pass a mic around, but I'd like some folks under the age of 18 to say what you call father. Maybe you call him father. What else do you call him? Just call it out. What do you call father? What do you call your dad? Dad? What else? What about grandparents or anybody that's a man in your life? Go ahead. What's that? Grandpa. Grandpa? What else? There's lots of other words. Bam bam. There we go. That sounds very endearing.
It is.
Pawpaw. Dottie, thank you. Yeah, anyone? What are some other names for dad, for father, for grandfather? Pop, Papa, Daddy, Pop, Pop. And just think about what feelings these words invoke in your heart. And, you know, when I think about that, those feelings of love and care that are associated with those terms, And then, of course, we realize that so many people in the world don't have those feelings. When my dad taught public school 30 years ago when he retired, 50% of his children, of his students in a country school district here in Lancaster County came from broken homes in a conservative area of the country. So that's way outdated. And I just hope and pray that children that don't have Pawpaw or Papa or Dad get it from somebody else. So it's up to us men. It's up to us men to be dads for people that don't have dads. So, where do fathers come from? All right, we have quite a few fathers here this morning. Where do they come from? Go ahead, call it out. Maybe that's a hard question. From their mom and dad. All right. It's something that God has given. All right, I saw another hand. All right. Thank you. And so when a man gets married and God blesses he and his wife with a child, he becomes a dad. Before that, he was a young man, right? So where do young men come from? Well, before that, these are all obvious questions, so just follow my thought process. So young men come from little boys, right? And where do little boys come from? I miss them in our house, but I'm good with the young men and the men in our house now. Where do little boys come from? They come from babies, right? All right. And babies come from their mother. And it makes you think about the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. So you're growing fathers, right? You're raising fathers. And it's a big deal. It's a really big deal. Our grandfathers and our grandmothers make fathers. Our mothers and our fathers make fathers. They influence us. Our sisters influence us. Virtuous wives make fathers, influence fathers. All right, but the rest of you aren't left out. Young ladies, you have an influence on the young men. Virtuous young ladies influence other young men in the youth group. How you relate to the young men influences them. And let me tell you, young men, you influence us fathers. You inspire us fathers. And so we have a church, we have a society, and according to what God has in Scripture, we have a church, we have communities, we have society led by men. And I'm thankful that you ladies are good with that, because that's Bible. Guess we could try to turn it the other way around, and we know that how it would work. So it's just the way it is. It's not that I'm thrilled about that, but I think us men are good with it, because it's what God's called us to be. To be the fathers, to be the leaders. So all that to say that our communities and our church, you mothers, you daughters, the sisters, you young men, and of course fathers themselves, are all responsible for this whole thing we call fatherhood. We're all in it together. We're all responsible for our influence and the way we care for our fathers and the way we relate to our fathers. And then, of course, fathers are responsible for how they relate to all of you. Could you get a mic to Brother Duff to prepare him for something I'm going to ask of you? And I would like all the men to stand. All the men. And I don't know if there are any baby boys over here, but you can feel free to stand with the baby boy or hand him across the aisle. And Brother Duff, could you come forward? I would like us to have a prayer.
How far forward?
Right here. I'd like us to have a prayer to bless our men. Let's pray. Go ahead, Duff.
Father, we come before you, the prototype, the example of a father that we need to be looking at. And we humbly ask that you would guide each man here, each father, each young man in their growth as they approach fatherhood. Guide us all, Lord, that we can honor you with our hearts, with our actions, our words. Give us the wisdom that we need to lead. Help us as we walk to walk in your ways. Pray that through your guidance, we can glorify you, we can honor you, we can point others to you. Help us, Lord, to be gentle, to be kind, to bless those that we are leading with firmness, with confidence, as we look to you, Lord, for the answers that we need and the direction that we need. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Duff. You may be seated. So that's us. That's us, men. This is a calling for us, a blessing for us. Because it wasn't our choice. I think medically they say it's the dad and his part of the union that decides whether or not you're a man or a lady. So it wasn't our choice. It was by design that you are who you are. God chose who you are. And so here we are. how did God do this? He gave us, he created us to have a choice. And so we have our choices to make, but he has actually put us at a put us into that place without our choice. But it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to be dads. So what do we do? What do fathers do? It'd be interesting to hear the list off the top of your head. Could we have a few? What do fathers do? Either side. I think I'm more in a hot spot than you are, so feel free to say.
Provide.
Protect.
Give direction.
Spiritual leadership.
Care.
Discipline.
Trust.
All right. Lead. That's right. Someone just talked about the other Sunday, how we paint a picture of God to our children, and the mothers tend to paint a picture of Jesus. All right. Thank you. And all a part of what you said, I'd like to talk about fathers being creators and not accommodators. Came across this in a book I was reading the other week, and it dawned on me how far short I come on that. An accommodator tries to keep up with what's asked of him. Oh, yeah, I need to do that yet. Okay. Oh, you really? Okay, yep, I'll do that. Get up off of my chair. Oh, you get that done? Trying to accommodate, trying to be a crisis manager. I'm trying to stay ahead. I'm gonna get there. And that's all good in its own way, because we end up doing that a lot, I'm sure. We all do. And maybe it's more in how we think about it. But we are creators, and we're called to actually stay ahead of the game. In a vision for accomplishing what God's called us to. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. So this is broader than just fathers here. But specifically, we're talking about fathers. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And so in one sense, everything we talk about this morning has to do with Father being a creator, creating things, just like God created. God created the earth. He had a plan, and he's working out that plan. And so as dads, as fathers, we need to think intentionally about what our plan is and what we want to accomplish. And sometimes life comes at us so fast our brains can't stay ahead, but that's life. Is that middle age? I'm not sure when that happens, but our goal is to at least be intentional and thoughtful, to be led by the Spirit. Because we know it's not in us. We can't get it done. We need God to get it done. Somebody talked about protecting, defending. That's us. We protect our wives. We protect our daughters. We protect our sons. We protect the neighbors. We protect the brothers and sisters at church. We protect any vulnerable within our community. We protect them physically. We're watching out for them. We protect them emotionally, morally, spiritually. We're on the lookout because there's all kinds of things that can happen. We have eyes in our head. We have eyes in the back of our head. We have eyes out the side. We've got them all around. We're looking. We're on the lookout for other people to watch out for them. And someone mentioned, I think in general, just to be here, to be present. Of course, we have the responsibility to earn a livelihood. And that's an ongoing discussion of where that balance is. How much time to give to earning a livelihood, how to involve our families in that so we can actually be home in earning a livelihood, to earn money so that we can put food on the table, so we can put a roof over our heads, and what that looks like, how to do that. But the long and short of it is that most of us can't be with our families all the time in that process. And so we need to make our time at home count. And like one brother gave me input on, he said, I'm here, but then I find out the family says I'm not there. So how do you be present and not present? So the other evening, I came home from work or got a phone call on the way home from work that included some very disturbing situation that I had to deal with at work with business. And it just really bugged me. And I told the family about the situation. It disturbed me, and I just couldn't. I struggled with letting it go, and all evening, looking back, I have to admit, I don't think I was there, even though I was there. So how does that work, dads? Are you there? Can you let the rest of the world go by? Can you let the stresses and the things that bother you? How does that work? And sometimes, we're just going to have to keep it an open conversation with our families. Dad, where you at? We'd like to have you here even, you know. So we have to know. Maybe our family can tell us. And we have to be okay when they give input about that. And I think it came up here, a dad serves, a father serves. And it takes time to involve the family, to involve them in the work, to teach them how, to be patient in teaching them. I mean, you could do it faster yourself, but take the time to involve them in the work. But then sometimes, even when there is a family member that could do it, we just get up and do it ourselves. We need to be willing to do the hardest, the most, the ugliest work. We need to be willing to do that and do it occasionally. Leading. Someone mentioned leading. Leading takes the initiative. And we can actually get paranoid about this. What if I miss something? What if I'm not watchful enough? Or what, you know, and so we can get fixated on this. We can actually miss our calling and leading if we get fixated on it. Genesis 18:19. And this is God speaking. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Bible examples. There's something about Bible stories that are very educational, very, very insightful. To read Bible stories and to put yourself in their shoes, and how does the way they lived, how does that affect me? How would I deal with that? Something else a father does is that he apologizes when he fails. Now, we can be so apologetic that nobody listens when we do say it. No, not an apologetic persona, but when we do something that we said something that wasn't kind, we weren't careful, or we gave a sharp response to mom in front of the children need an apology for that. That really hurts them. What else does a father do? He's on duty. Well, I need time for myself. Yeah, you do. I guess you'll have to do it before the family gets up. There's a whole balance on that. And as a team, you and your wife figure that out. But dad's on duty. He gives his family identity. Your family bears your last name. My family bears my last name. And so that identity is important. And dads, fathers, are fathers to people who don't have fathers. We talked about a lot of people that don't have fathers, or maybe their father isn't present. Maybe they had a father. Maybe he passed. Or maybe they never experienced a loving father, and their father deserted them. They need us to be their fathers. Where does that stop and start? I don't know. That's why the Holy Spirit guides us and directs us into when we reach out and help. So, dads, there's a lot of things to do, but having said all of that, it's more important to be than do. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. So how or what does a father think? How do we think? What's inside? How do we be? And our dads have given us the gift of discipline. They've taught us discipline. And when we realize that we're not disciplined, sometimes we need to reach out to other men to help us be disciplined in that area. Every foe that you conquer as a dad helps your children to conquer the same thing. And every foe that you let slide, every vice, every weakness that you allow into your life allows a gap in the wall around your family. Talking to myself here. And a father needs to be okay with himself. And that probably has to do with whether or not he's decisive and willing to lead. But what if I do the wrong? Well, You know, the our fathers have called us out to be men. And so that's what we need to do. We need to make decisions. We need to decide. And then, of course, you know, when I try to be decisive, well, then I make a bad one. Well, that proves it. I can't make So then we start this little war inside our heads. Maybe we need another man to help us figure it out. That's why we're community dads. But just to be decisive and to be self-confident, that's how dads need to think. And of course, personalities all play into this, and that's all normal and fine. But dealing with insecurity and maybe, as it's been called already, the father wound. And I think every dad has a father wound because our dads haven't been perfect. And we have to accept that. Maybe it was a lack of a dad. Maybe we had no dad. Maybe we had a dad with weaknesses. And I think we've all had human dads. We know that. And so we need to be willing to honestly look at the shortcomings of our dads. I hope my sons do. You stoners, boys that are here, I hope you're willing to look at my weaknesses and face them. We all need to face them. Because if we don't face them, we'll actually repeat the same thing. If we can honestly look at our father's weaknesses, we can rise above them. And maybe it takes another man to help us do that. That's why we need each other. And it's our Father God who enables us to do that. To know the Father, how does a father think? A good father knows the Father, the only true Father, the only perfect dad. God, Father, the Trinity, Jesus, our brother, Jesus, our Father. Do we know the Father? We sure do. Thank him for that. How does a father think? He's respectable. He's worth following because we know the Father. We talked about being intentional. And Joshua 24, verse 15, the end of that verse says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Not in an egotistical way, or look at me, how godly I am, and I'm going to pound the Bible and, you know, have my authority placed over my family. I'm going to be a dad. No, it's not that way. We humbly take that spot and lead our family and serve the Lord. But it does take time. It does take thought. It takes planning our vision with our wife. And even figuring out that vision with your girlfriend, your fiance. And maybe even before you're dating, you probably do it without even thinking about what your ideals for dad is. What are your ideals to be a dad? I'm sure you young people have that figured out. Really, what is a good dad? All right? You've thought about that. Whether or not you've purposefully taken time for it. But put those ideals into thought. And then when you become a dad, be together with your wife. And then a father loves his wife. It's the best thing you can do for your children. Love their mother. But more than love, because love is a commitment, right? We talk about love, just love, but just like her. Enjoy being with your wife and doing things together. They'll know that. If you're just following out in your commitment to love her, the children will know that. And then like your children, Enjoy being with your children. It's part of that personal self, being accepting of our own selves so that we can reach out and we can love and accept and enjoy being with our wife and our children. What else does a father think? He's teachable. When was the last time your wife gave you some input? Oh, now I'm in the doghouse. Seems like society likes their doghouse. Now I'm in the doghouse, and it just kind of cuts that whole concept of receiving input respectfully and honorably, just cuts it down and demeans it. No. They actually wanted to say something to us, and they wanted us to take it like a man and not go whimpering into the doghouse with our tail between our legs. Full visual effect. So be teachable, receive input. I'm not sure what you think of when you think of an offended man. There'd be lots of visual comparisons of an offended man. I guess in the animal world, you could get colorful. But I think men, we have to think about it. A hurt man hurts people. He eats up his own manhood. He eats up the strength of his life. He surrounds himself with darkness because he's hurt. I'm talking to myself here. We've all been there. We've been hurt. And we want other people to know that we're hurt. That was hurtful. Especially your wife, you wanted to know that. It's if she hurt you and whoever else caused this hurt. It clouds our manhood, our fatherhood. An offended man destroys himself. And the children suffer. There might not be any physical demonstration of it, but just the cloud that rests upon the family because dad's hurt. Well, no, maybe nobody says it, but they just know dad's offended. And spread that out to the community, the power of a man that's offended and that's hurt and that walks around carrying this hurt weakens the community, weakens the church. I've been there. We have to face it, men. All right. Well, how does a father think? A father thinks outside the box. Did you ever realize that you got stuck in your box, and this is how I want my son to think, and this is how I want my son to do it? This is the box. Stay in it. Well, there are principles. We know that. There's Bible principles. There's laws and rules in the family that we need to keep there for our children's good. But then we need to have the wisdom to know when, well, actually, maybe my son came up with a better plan on how to do, you know, whatever. It could be a million things. Give them room to try some of their own ideas. Maybe they won't always work, but at least you trusted your son to try it. And so if it's different from you and it wasn't the best, stick with him, help him clean up the mess, jump in it with him. And it's like, yeah, and after a bit, they'll come around and say, well, yeah, actually your idea was pretty good, Dad. You just have to take the long way there sometimes. So be open to the interests and desires of our children. Give them guidance. Encourage them to grow and develop and mature. Promote them in an humble way. as we're humble, they'll learn what humility is all about. If we're proud of ourselves and our accomplishments, they'll be proud of themselves and their accomplishments. So you know, that all flows right through. But yes, give them room, give them space to mature. Trust them. But then sometimes we shouldn't trust them, and finding that balance is really hard. I received that from one of you brothers, and I agree. It's a whole journey of how to give them space to grow on their own, how to give them guidance. Colossians 3:21, I think, speaks, and this comes up throughout the scriptures a couple times. And so we need to hear from our children. Fathers, provoke, this is Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Yeah, but if I listen to my children, then they'll just get away with anything. No, we're not saying that. We're just saying have their hearts. I don't have all the answers for this. I think I probably have less after, you know, having children. But there's a path through this. There's a path through this to have our children's hearts. Not that we do every woman wish or what they want. No, it's not what we're saying. But what we're doing, are we discouraging them? Can we guide them through this and give them joy in this? If we feel like being a dad always, and what we do as a dad always ends up killing their spirit, we better take a hard look at how we're doing it. So we give our children guidance, and maybe this is reviewing what I said before, and warn them about something, and then they fall into that trap. Don't tell them, I told you so. They know well enough that you warned them. Go and support them, carry them through the difficulty. Luke 15:20-24, the son that left. And it's not necessarily that our children leave physically for this to be our experience. And he arose, this is the wayward son, he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. To father our children in that manner. How to give them freedom of choice and a place in their own right. But also tell them that this is required. How do you do that? I'm not sure. But I think that's important. Because if our young people don't feel like they're making their own choices and yet feel like dad doesn't even care about whether or not they make the right choices, they're at a bad spot. So our young people need to feel like they're making their own choices, but then also know that dad really cares, and there's going to have to be something to answer to dad if you don't make the right choices. Our sons need to be given the rite of passage, if you've ever heard that term. They need to be called out as men, that now you are old enough, son, you go ahead, you drive the tractor, you whatever it is. And they're called up to be men. They're expected to be men. And as we are men, then we can call out our own sons to be men. We value each child by viewing the world through their eyes. Not a spineless dad saying, I'm just going to give in to them, but we understand the world through their eyes. And we know when their heart is straying. We want to have our children's hearts. We want to know them that well that we know when they are straying, really before they do. Train up a child, Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We're not going to have a long conversation about what that means. There's a lot of different ways to evaluate that verse, but we know the Bible says it. We know it is true. And I'd like to close with this verse from Genesis chapter 49, verse 26. And this is Jacob talking to his sons. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. It's not like we have some new path and that we're the hero of truth, but that's our heart's desire as fathers. Upon our wives, upon our daughters, upon our sons, upon our communities that are around us, upon our grandchildren. We want our blessing to prevail upon them and carry them through to that wonderful time when we all meet around the throne in glory. Let's stand for prayer. Dear God, we thank you that you're our Father, and we realize that we're human, and we feel like we're not up to it so many times. But we thank you by the power of your Spirit and the strength received from our brotherhood and our community, from our wives, from our daughters, from our sons, from everyone here in this brotherhood. We thank you for this strength and the place that you've given us here. We thank you. We ask that you would bless each father, each dad, each grandpa. Bless us all with light and joy and wisdom to be who you've called us to be. And we pray especially for those who do not have family fathers, those who lost their father because of death, those who lost their father because of rejection. Lord, we pray a special blessing upon them. And I pray that you would provide them a father figure to encourage them and to bless them. So, Lord, we lift you up. We worship your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.